Edom in chapter 14. Samuel the Lamanite continues to talk to the people in this chapter, and mostly in this chapter he prophesies, and what he prophesies is of the coming of Christ. And then he begins by saying that Christ will be born in 5 years, and that the sign for that will be that there will be no night before the time he comes, and also there will be a new star in the heaven, and that the sky will have many signs and wonders in it. So therefore he tells them to repent and prepare the way. Again, why is repenting and preparing the way go together? It means that, again, Christ can only come to a righteous people. He's not coming to a wicked people. He cannot change you overnight into being righteous. So you have to prepare a righteous group of people for him to come to. And another way of thinking about that is that God is over the celestial kingdom, and Christ is over the terrestrial kingdom. And each of these cannot abide a lesser glory. And this is a telestial world, and so a terrestrial remnant or place has to be prepared, both by us and by the actions that are taken by the earth when he comes. Well, then in verses 10 through 18, it repeats the reasons for Christ's coming. Now, the point is that these people knew all of this, and it, just as today, but they did not choose to make it part of their lives. So, again, we have to have faith, it says in Jesus Christ, and therefore when they repeat this, they aren't repeating it acting as like the people don't know it. It's just as they will in the last days. They will just repeat the coming of Christ, and it's up to if a person has faith, as soon as they have true faith in Jesus Christ, not just lip service, well then obviously they know to bring him into their lives, and so when someone speaks of Christ and says, okay, I want you to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, it means bring him into your life. We don't have to go through some long dissertation. Because it's talking about Christ coming, we act like, well, these people had rejected Christ. Well, they had. But they knew of him, and they gave lip service to him, just like you do. And so, therefore, this is given for them to... If Samuel Lamanite, a prophet, come in the last days, they'd talk in the same way about Christ, that we rejected him out of our daily lives, and so therefore they would just talk as if he didn't exist, and they'd begin to repeat the things about Christ. Again, that's why they do it over and over in the Book of Mormon, is to try and get you to accept Christ in your life. Or it talks about the two things that Christ is coming for, two phases, if you want. One is to atone, and the one that is atonement and crucifixion, allow all men to return to him for judgment, i.e. be resurrected. So everyone will get to come back up to him. And then we see that it means that it says that when you come up to him, those who have stay wicked still, they will be cast out for second death. Well, the point here is that, again, it might not seem specific here, but the point that is being made is that if you come, that you will be brought to stand before Christ, and if you reject him at the last day, then you will have to go to hell. And if we study this, we begin to see that it is talking about having lower kingdoms, or meaning that everyone has their chance. The time to prepare to live with God in his kingdom is in this life. But nonetheless, everyone will be brought to stand before Christ and be given that last chance. So obviously there must be a lower kingdom, because again, only those who in this life make the choice to follow Christ and repent now can live with Heavenly Father in the highest kingdom. And that's the kingdom that is talked about. And again, you say, well, why isn't this more specific and talk about these lower kingdoms? Well, the reason is that you are not to seek a lower kingdom, because if you know of Christ, Christ is a gateway to the kingdom of God. And therefore, if you know of him and then continue to reject him, meaning in your life you keep hearing of him, and just we do in the Book of Mormon, it repeats him over and over again, and you hear of him, the devil is preparing you to reject him. And it might be a slow process, but when you go up to heaven, you say, no, I don't want him in my eternal life either. So when you know of Christ and you deny him in your life, you are being prepared. You are being prepared to reject him when you come to him. And so any time in your mind you think you're going, that the very idea of thinking that you can have a lower kingdom implies that you can put off the day of accepting Christ into your daily life and becoming a true follower and having and showing complete faith in him. As you reject this, if you choose a lower kingdom, you are putting this time off. But the very idea of putting it off is what the devil's goal is. That means he has some hold on you, and he is setting up your character or your spirit, which will be the same one you'll have in the next life. And therefore, as you continue to reject him, but you keep having these knowledges brought before you over and over like it does in the Book of Mormon at church or at other places, and you reject him, as again we begin to see about Amalickiah. Because he was raised in the church, and he kept having it brought to him, until finally, even in this life, he rejected him right there, and he curses God. And so even in wickedness, because we keep having it brought before us, in our wickedness, we actually have signs or understandings of him, and we can see, while doing righteousness, we learn we're following Christ, but as we do greater wickedness, we also see that we're further from Christ, and it becomes, again, a testimony to us of Christ. And the point is, therefore, you are laying the pattern if you look for a lower kingdom, if you continue to reject Christ in your life, you are laying a pattern or building your character or spirit to reject him in the next life. And if you say, oh, no, I'll accept him in the next life, some may do that, but the more honest you are about thinking that, meaning the more you say, yes, I will wait till the next life, the more you're really setting your character to put off ever accepting Jesus Christ. And this is what is being talked about here. And that's why it's explained in this way. Again, listening to Samuel Lamanite is a lot like listening to Isaiah. He's just setting a type. We saw in the last chapter that he was talking clearly to our day. Therefore, Samuel begins to talk about in verses 20 to 28, he talks about what will happen at Christ's death. Now, the thing here again is all of these things are happening, are going to happen up until the time that he actually comes to reside with us the second time, because at his death is when he came to reside or live with the Nephites for a while. he talks about there's going to be great darkness and a darkness for 3 days, and earth upheavals will accompany his death, and it says that spirits will arise and many will see greater things. So why is it explaining all this? Well, it says that the reason in verses 20 and 29 is it's a sign for the condemnation of the wicked. It's also for signs to the believers. It's to give you clear signs so that you have clear knowledge of what's going on. If you turn to the Lord, then these can be motivations to increase your faith and for you to work harder, and for others as they see this, they know in fact that Christ has come and they've rejected him and they continue to reject him and so these are clear signs but again the signs don't change your character. They're only things to motivate you to change your character. Having seen them though, once you have a clear knowledge, it's pretty obvious that then you have a belief in Christ, but then it's what you have to do about it. Well, again, as I said, this is just a type. It implies that everyone, again, we're talking about the purpose of Christ, which is the plan of salvation. And so in the plan of salvation, it is telling us that everyone will be given a clear knowledge of Christ. And then you make your choice as to whether or not you will serve him or not. And again, if you did not receive as great as signs as these people did, I mean, don't go into your life saying, if I had lived in their days and seen those signs, I would have chose Christ. Well, when you go into this next life and you're in the spirit world, then you'll have just as clear as signs, and you'll have to then make your choice then. And don't think it's any easier. In fact, the longer you prolong it, the more you're setting your character to make it harder to make that change to accept Christ. And it goes on in verse 30 to say that it's your free choice. You are given the free choice to choose good or evil and to choose your eternal state. Now, again, when we choose good or evil, it's not just talking about the act, did I choose to steal or not? So that's I get a good one on that one, and the next day I talk nicely to my mother, and so therefore I get a good one on that day. So now I got two good, so they can do one bad. I mean, that's how people tend to think about this choice of good or evil. No, you're choosing, do you want to live in a good state? That's why it says you're choosing life or death. You're choosing, do you want to live in a good state or do you want to live in an evil state? That's what it is asking, and you make that choice in your life, meaning, and how do you do it? Well, when you think that you're just choosing between whether or not you're obeying the Ten Commandments, say, and you obey nine of them, and then one of them you don't, so therefore you've did good, and so therefore you've chose good. See, that's acting like you are the one that is determining the criteria. What is the criteria of good? The criteria of good is coming unto Christ, and He will lead you to do good. All He gave you the Ten Commandments for, and all these are just performances when you do it, is to build your discipline to choose Christ. Once you choose Christ, He will lead you to good. So what you are doing is you, through your what you do in this life, you're learning to recognize that Christ is good, and that the only good is by following Him. The only chance of having good is to believe in His redemption, go unto Him, and then have good. Or you're choosing that you'd rather do it on yourself, meaning you don't need Christ. And even if you say, okay, well, on my own, I can do all these good things, I can obey the Ten Commandments, and I can do it all on my own, you are choosing yourself. So you're choosing that you do not need to live with Christ. You do not need Him in the next life, and I will guarantee you that Scripture has made it clear that the devil then has a hold on you, and he will turn you later, and he will be building up your anger, because the very idea that you're saying, I can do it and I don't need Christ, and when someone says, yes, you do need Christ, and even though you're doing good, it'll be of no account to you, you become angry, and you say, oh, I can't do it good, and now all of a sudden notice that you have anger, and you have bitterness. And that is the sign of Satan, and that is, even though you thought you were doing good acts, he was teaching you bitterness and hate. And he's teaching you to hold yourself up and have pride and so on. And so he has taught you all the characteristics. You must understand and clearly that you are developing a character. You are not developing, you are not just getting yourself a bag of good deeds and bad deeds. And then everyone weighs out, that's what determines your eternal life. You are choosing a character. And if you turn yourself over to Christ and you go to Him and ask Him what you're to do, He will teach you how to develop the character of love and of patience and of long-suffering and joy and real happiness and all these things. And that's what we are developing. And it only comes through believing that Christ is your Redeemer, and then following His plan of repentance. And so therefore, when it says repent, it's obviously telling you to repent of your iniquities, but the main thing is telling you to repent of not accepting Christ in your life and coming unto Him. And obviously, you cannot come unto Him if you've got all these terrible traits of it's obvious that a thief or a person who desires to steal, or one, which means just has a desire for someone else's what someone else has produced. Obviously, we've got to get rid of that kind of that obvious character flaw, because we were given a conscience. So So the first step is we follow the conscience, which is what? It comes from Christ. And we're given that. We need to follow that to make our choice for good. And when we do that, it'll immediately lead us to Christ. Otherwise, we're caught in our own pride. And as it says, in order to truly repent, you must humble yourself. You do not repent in pride. I'm just repeating these scriptures to you, and that's why it's saying it's your free choice, and you're choosing a path. And obviously, the path of Christ, it requires patience and work on yourself, and it's a lifetime of work. This is a preparatory life. I'm just repeating what it says in Scripture. It's a preparatory life. It's a life where you are walking across the gulf of misery, so you're seeing misery. It's difficult, but you are here to make that choice that you do recognize that this life is misery and that you need to get on the path that Christ has to get across it so that you can come back to eternal life. And again, you can make that choice all the way along it. But the longer you prolong your time, the more you're setting in your character, the more that when you do turn yourself over to Christ, the more you require of Him to keep you on the path, which is choosing your eternal state. I guess having mentioned that, we have to explain that in the lower kingdoms, you have proven that you cannot exist with your complete free agency. So therefore, you would not choose the principles of God and the eternal principles on your own. So therefore, these laws have to be given to you. So each of the lower kingdoms has a set of laws that you must obey. And they are enforced. How they're enforced, I know not. But if that's what you're choosing, is you're choosing, you'd still follow Christ, but you recognize you do not have the strength yourself. Those in the highest kingdom have chosen, they follow these good principles, and they have developed the complete character of choosing good by Christ. And their character is complete, and that is being being called as being made perfect. Well, that's just kind of a longer dissertation of exactly what he's getting at here in the end, and that's why he talks about having all these signs and so forth. And again, it's a type of what each man will receive as he makes his choice between life or death. Or Christ or the devil, which we know that Christ is life and the devil is death.